Yeah. Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun. Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mine.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mine.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Poker session 5 of 150. Just breathe. The lead up. I booked my first L of the year right around the time the clock struck midnight on Thursday, January 6th, 2022. I did a walk-off, chips in pocket, no time to go cash them out. If you recall, in the previous session, I already did the walk of shame, where you exhausted all the funds you brought with you, and you were being responsible, and now you're saying, fuck being responsible, I'm going to the cage, I'm getting more money, and I'll pay that fee. And the real moment of shame on the walk of shame is when you got to do the fingerprint thing. And I wasn't going back to the cage. Nope, I couldn't take it anymore. Grabbed my chips, put them in my poker rack zip-up hoodie, and I was out the door. I was so tilted. I ran bad, played bad, and I even acted bad towards the end. And the third thing being the least forgivable, in my opinion, for a poker pro. Running bad, obviously. That's fine. Playing bad's not great, but acting bad's the absolute worst. And it wasn't super toxic, but it wasn't up to my standards of being good for the game. I was tilting my balls off at the awesome Indian guy. And yeah. And I had bad feelings going in about being unlucky, and I was sad during it. And I went in way overworked. And that's the old story. That is what you heard all of last year and the year before and the year before that. No, 2022 is about adjustments and playing poker fresher when I can. Because when I play fresh, I'm really good. And even if I run bad, I can keep my shit together. And this was a relapse. That's the best way to say it. I said this in the last drop. It's an alcoholic gets sober and turns things around. And then one night fucking falls off the wagon and then needs to get back on the wagon. And I'm not doing that with alcohol, but I'm doing that with this. No, don't work yourself to death and then go play poker. You're going to be a shit show. And I was doing it differently to start the year. And I had a little relapse. And I'm definitely going to have to play more poker, tired and overworked. But I should keep that in mind and be more patient. And also, I just got to man up when I'm feeling the worst and maybe just leave it, even though I have to put hours in. Yeah, it was not great. I drove back to my granny flat and I ate turkey jerky. So that's an adjustment. I was on a lot of tilt, and in the past, I would be making some 3-minute pizzas. I would be taking any bread I could find in the fridge and throwing some sliced cheese on there and microwaving that shit. That's the comfort food. Well, I do want to lose weight. Even when I'm raging, tilting, I still want to lose weight this year. So I ate turkey jerky, which is a good snack. And I watched the Succession season 2 finale. And this is a show I had to fight my way through. It's definitely very well written and great acting and all that. But there's no one likable in there. But I've realized that the beauty of that is you kind of just hate everyone, and you just see how like corrupt and greedy and all that shit people can be, and it gets fascinating on that level. So I prefer shows where there's a boss, where there's a detective boss. You just fucking love the dude, right? And, you know, where there's a protagonist. And anyways, I like the season 2 finale. I won't spoil it if you haven't gotten that far, but it had a very fuck the nits vibe to it. And in case you didn't know, my whole thing in life is fuck the nits. The people that just want to take and they want to infringe, fuck them. Fuck them, right? Which is why I fight with the people in chat who are being haters. Fuck you guys. Seriously, if you're a hater, fuck you. I know it's take the high road. No, take the fuck you road is my opinion when it comes to nits. People who want to infringe on others, people who want to fucking judge, people who want to take more than they need and not give anything back, fuck them all. Okay, let me take a sip of water. I didn't know that was coming. Sorry. What? Oh, Kanye didn't know that I had that much fire, he said. Yep, sometimes, man. Okay, so I went to sleep on tilt. That's a real thing, like rage tilt. And I woke up feeling awful. And I decided to go to Target and get a scale. People will ask me here and there over the years, how much do you weigh? No fucking clue. I've always had the opposite of anorexia, where I could gain a bunch of weight and be fat, but I'd look in the mirror and I'd be like, I look like I did when I was 18. And so, but I've realized that, yeah, if you're going to accomplish anything, the first thing you got to do is measure it, and then you got to set a goal, and that's how you accomplish it, right? And so I went and got a scale, and I got some poster board where I'm going to track how much I weigh every week, and yeah. And then it was time for tennis, some community tennis, some DGAF community tennis. There are different, I don't want to say chapters, but you know, there's people that live in San Diego or nearby, Orange County or whatever, and we have a SoCal Meetups channel on Slack. There are different channels, there's Chicago channel, there's different channels, right? So we have one where we're going to meet up, we're going to play tennis on this day, and five of us show up. Everyone's always invited, so even five is not a good number for tennis, but so what? We're going to play doubles, and we start off playing, and we all suck, right? And so it's not the exercise we want, so we just... It just evolves into street tennis where there are no rules. So the ball can bounce 10 times. It can roll. You can pull it out of the net. As long as you keep going, it's live, right? So points take 10, 15 minutes. And then one person, whoever loses, before when we were playing, whoever lost had to sit out for a few games. Now it's play 3-on-2. You know, whatever team you want to be on, go on that team and just run around, get exercise, have fun, joke around. And then every now and then I would just say, that's our point. And Alex Benham would be like, how? And I was like, man, that ball was out, right? And we've been hitting balls into the fence, pulling them out of the net. It was fun. It was what I needed, right, after this tough night and slept like shit. It just really instantly turned my whole mood around. The serotonin, the sunshine, all that shit. You know, stuff that's basic for most of you, but it's easy when you're too busy to just completely neglect that. You need sunshine, and you need fucking exercise, and you need social time, right? But when you got a million things to do, you just don't carve out time for that, even though you'll be more productive if you do. Anyways, went to Korean barbecue after that. I lost credit card roulette. I've been losing in everything. I lost in sports on this night too. And then we played in the dice den in the bar before poker. And I lost there too. And I never got called. I think there was, I don't know, if there was an issue where the phone didn't work or whatever in the bar. I never got called. I was in there for 1.5, 2 hours. And so I kind of lucked out into making the right decision. I was going to play poker again on this night. And one night after playing on tilt and all that, and it just, no, the right decision is to take the night off. Well, I lucked into it because they never called me. So I just caught a ride back to my granny flat and got some sleep. And then on Friday and Saturday, I had my kids. And my son just seemed very anxious on these couple days. And, you know, I'm wondering, is it COVID? The younger you are, the bigger percentage of your life has been COVID, right? So if you're, you know, we're going on what? This is season 3 of COVID. So for those of us in our 40s, well, we had all these years without COVID. It's just a little chapter in our lives. But the younger you are, it's a bigger chapter. And also we told these kids, hey, the vaccine's coming, masks will be gone, the world will be back to normal. We told them that. We didn't lie because that's what we were told, but it was fucking wrong. It wasn't a lie. I don't believe anyone was lying about that shit. I just don't believe they called it right. And so I don't know. I'm wondering, is it that? Is it too much screen time? Of course, screen time can wind up a kid. Well, the screen time came from the COVID because, you know, when kids were playing sports and going to school and camps and all that, and then it all got shut down, you don't want them just, you know, staring at the wall, thinking about what the fuck's going on. You want, here, play a video game, and hopefully we just get through this. And so that's been a thing. My son's become a gamer during then. Is it his age? Yeah, he's 9. You start to worry about stuff. And his temperament, extremely sensitive, just like his dad. And, yeah, it's all those things. So on Friday night, I had to teach him to breathe, to fall asleep. He couldn't fall asleep. And he usually fights it when I try and teach him to do focused breathing. My daughter didn't fight it, and she'll do it anywhere. If I see her on the basketball court and she needs to take a breath, or on the soccer field, she'll do it anywhere. And she knows for her whole life that if you're not feeling good, if you've lost perspective about how good life is, any sort of negative feeling, the way to stop that is breathing. It's the healthy form of Xanax. It just chills you the fuck out. And my son always fights me on that. But he was like, how do I do that again? Well, you know, he just really wanted to fall asleep. And it worked. He did. And he came in my room in the morning. And he wants me to work. He's just super anxious. What's that noise? It's dark in here. The one thing that's like a lullaby to him is me being on my laptop as he's falling asleep. Because that's what he's known his whole life, is dad working as he's fallen asleep. And when I moved out of the house, he would stay with me at dingy hotels and whatnot. And they would be right there falling asleep. And I would be on my laptop writing the spew that goes into the microphone eventually, and working on other stuff, of course. And they always have asked me, what are you writing? And I say, I'm writing a book. Because I don't need them listening to this podcast until they're adults. It's not for kids. And also, I kind of am writing a book. This is a story. This is a story they're going to love one day, where, you know, it's going to be some, there's going to be some eye-opening stuff. Of course, it'll be time for them to grow up when they hear it, right? Like, life's just not as easy as it has been for you two. And, but it's hopefully going to end in triumph. And hopefully this year we get there. And that's the plan. And that's why it's called The Return. And anyways, that's what he wants me to do, so he can fall back asleep in my bed. And I'm happy to do it. I got plenty of work. I can sleep later. I need another sip of water, though, real quick. So before I drop my kids off, I want to do something athletic with them. But the basketball in my car is flat, and I don't have a pump. And so we're going to go play wiffle ball. I got a wiffle ball bat in my trunk and a big wiffle ball. I just want to do something outdoors athletic with my kids before I drop them off and before I head to Vegas. And he's so upset when we're playing wiffle ball. He's good. He's talented. He's just so upset anytime he misses or if his sister hits a home run. And I'm starting to worry about this because this is not, it's beyond what you normally see out of kids. And you know what we both need to do? We both need to just breathe. My son needs to just breathe. Like, hey, this is wiffle ball with your dad and your sister. It's chill. Just have fun. Play hard. Whatever happens, happens, right? And I need to breathe. He's going to be fine. I love him so much that I over-worry about him. And if I think back to when I was that age, man, I was just as anxious. And yeah, but I didn't have someone telling me it's going to be okay, you know, and he's going to be totally fine. And anyways, I did drop them off and I flew to Vegas, and SD Jen picked me up at the airport. Just, man, someone I never would have met if I didn't have a podcast, and a former DA in San Diego, and just really fucking cool and funny and generous and all that, picked me up from the airport. It can be a nightmare to get a ride from the airport. And then we picked up one time another gentleman in the community, just same thing. And then we met Persuadio and went to Korean barbecue. And it's just a really cool vibe every time you meet up with people in this community, almost every time. And then Jen fucking made us keep drinking. We had a nice dinner and it's time to, you know, wrap it up. She made us keep drinking, and we didn't want to, but we're going to tell her no? No. So, yeah. Woke up on Sunday a little bit hungover. Jen's fucking fault. Told you, she's very generous and all that, but that's her fault. It's on her. And anyways, I worked. I worked on poker rags, and I fired sports, and I was losing a lot on Sunday. And I had to take a shower because I was going somewhere fun. But in the shower, I had to breathe. When you're losing a lot, you can think this is the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. My kids have never missed a meal. That was the thing that used to just be in my mind. Oh, my God, they're not going to be able to eat. Yeah, right. They're always going to be fine, right? And I was losing a bunch. I had to do some breathing because I was going somewhere fun. I didn't want to be a train wreck. And guess what? The breathing worked. And you see Tommy Angelo talking about breathing all the time. He and I probably couldn't be more different when it comes to what the role of a poker pro is. But that's fine. We just have different opinions. But we both are about that breathing. So I don't know. Yeah, I did some breathing. And then the fun place I was going to was the Chargers-Raiders game. Basically a playoff game. Last game of the regular season, but it decided who went to the playoffs. Therefore, it's win or go home. And if they tied, they both went. And I hadn't been to a professional sporting event in forever. My day one got tickets from someone he plays poker with. He gets it as a poker pro. He's a good player, but he's fun and he'll do whatever. And he gets it. And someone he plays with had tickets that might have been 1,500 each or 2,000 each. And he gave him two. And he took me. And one time's going. And Derek and the community is going, and his dad, Raider Dave, is going. And his dad, obviously, by his name, Raider Dave, a huge Raiders fan. And the way this went down is, one time I was going to be in town, and I said, yeah, I'm going to that, man. And he said, and I said, Derek, come with us. And he said, you know, if I bink a tournament, yes. And he didn't bink a tournament. I said, man, the community will get a ticket for you. And he said, no, that's very nice of you, but I don't go to games without my dad, Raider Dave. And I said, okay. Because I knew tickets are gonna be expensive. I don't know, like $450 or something like that. And then someone reached out, someone anonymous, and said, fuck that. They're both going. And I said, yeah, they both are. And so I said, you guys are going. I'm gonna raise the funds in the community. And the way you do this is you just play a tournament and half of the money goes to a cause. And usually it's a more serious cause than this, but this is a good cause too. You got to live life. Derek is a really cool dude, and I, you know, just know his dad's going to be cool. And it really felt fucking great. It felt fucking great to, it's nice to have this, I guess you call it power, where, you know, I'm broke joke in life, but I got earning power and I got this kind of power of, what? I can raise this money, no problem. And I punted off $100 in that tournament. So, I just going all in every hand. I just want to lose the 100. Half can go to whoever's grinding that thing, and half can go to the cause, right? And we're going to raise the money. And I was thinking, as we're walking into the stadium, Derek and his dad, and they're both moved. They were moved. Derek was moved by it, and his dad was very appreciative. And I'm thinking, man, the $100 I put towards this, you know, many other people put money towards it, but the $100, I couldn't have bought fucking cocaine or heroin or fucking 5 lap dances. Any of that shit could not have even compared. It could not have made me feel better, not even fucking close. And so when you do stuff for others, it's not really that selfless, is it? I don't know. It felt fucking good. And what an insane environment. I used to go to Chargers Raiders games in San Diego, and it was like fucking war. Like, you just were, you know, kept your head on a swivel. It was a little nicer. And you know, being in the nice seats, of course, I didn't feel that danger at all. But I did get this grandiose feeling walking back into that fucking beautiful stadium right there on Dean Martin Drive, not too far from where I stay at Panorama Towers. It's just fucking ridiculous, like how nice it is, and how all these people dressed up, and the music, and fucking, I'm a Chargers fan, but Derek Carr running out of that tunnel, fucking amped up, like gesturing at the crowd. That shit, I can see it. I have the kind of memory. I can see him doing that. And even though I'm rooting for the Chargers and I have a lot of money on the Chargers, you just feel this. You get the fucking goosebumps, man. Like, holy shit. Like, and I need this. I needed a shot of grandiosity or whatever you want to call it. And I don't know, man. It was a wonderful experience. It was an amazing game. Chargers lost. I lost a ton of money. But just a really incredible night. And then we went to Musashi to eat with the crew afterwards. And then a few of us went to Ellis Island. And I'd never been there. And I heard it was fun. We went to the karaoke bar. And karaoke bar had a lot of swingers in there. And what, Sangha? No, I didn't mean to say singers. I said swingers. Of course they have singers in there, man. They already know that. But yeah, it was interesting. It was a fun, like, just fun. The least judgmental place on the planet is the karaoke bar, Ellis Island. And there's some swingers in there. And it was cool. Yeah. And then I slept, worked on my notes, and really felt recharged, ready to kill it in season 5. I hadn't recorded anything yet. Right, I'm just working on my notes. I didn't have my intro and outro yet. I need to finalize everything. Intro, outro design, yeah. But really, on the next day, on the Monday, I was feeling good again. I had, I got a little overserved at that karaoke bar, but that's the waitress's fault. And I just had been recharged, yeah, and pun intended. So, what on this day went to dinner with one time. And my girlfriend, known as the princess in this podcast, in this story, and one time had won a lot of money from me, and he's being very generous, and he took us to a place called Catch at Aria. And since he won so much, I ordered so much. You got to sting him a little bit on the bill, and it was just really nice. I really don't like fancy restaurants on the strip too much. It's not my vibe. This one was dark though. It had music and that's just all I want. And it was just a really nice night and crashed and woke up the next day and I wrote and I worked on poker rags and then I was ready to go play session number 5. One more sip. We'll get in the session. That took a long time, sound guy. We got a lot of notes for this one, man. I have a feeling it might go over an hour, but I don't know. You'll do better next time with the editing, right? The session. At 3:35 p.m. on Tuesday, January 11th, I sat down in a 2-4 no-limit game at the Venetian. Is this going to be another year of red chip hell? It's not. It's not going to be. Stay tuned. But on this day, it is. And is it going to be 2-4 no-limit all day? No. I'm going to go play the huge game, the fucking high-stakes red chip game, 3-5, as soon as I get a seat. Anyways, in this 2-4 no-limit game, it's so passive and tight, I'm not limping. I do limp. I will be limping a lot moving forward in games because I just realized how much I'm lighting money on fire by opening an early middle position in so many games. And I've talked about that enough. But some games where it's a bunch of fucking grinders, I'm just going to be opening, right? And I wrote run awful right away. And it just took one hand for me to feel like I ran awful. And because I did. In this particular hand, it wasn't a big deal. I opened Jack 10. This lady called. It came King 7-6. I checked. She checked. There's two diamonds. King 7-6, two diamonds. I checked. She checked. The turn is the 8 of diamonds. I now have a gut shot and a flush draw. And I pot it. And she's supposed to fold. She's supposed to fold everything that she has in her, in her range. Well, she raises. So she made a flush, and I just folded, and it's not a big deal to run into a flush, but think about the odds of running into a 5-card hand, an all-in hand. They're pretty slim, right? And I need to focus less on this, the hand-to-hand stuff, and I've been losing at everything, sports. I had a run where I was winning a lot in sports, and it's gone the other way, and so what? I'm going to be intermittent fasting again this year, a decent amount, not always. If I feel like shit, I'm going to eat. If I'm starving, I'm going to eat. But on this day, I'm going to dinner after this session. And then after dinner, I'm going to play another session. It's going to be a more blurry one. That's how it goes. If I'm playing at night, I'm going to have I'm going to be on the sauce. If I'm playing in the day, no, I don't think so. Unless I'm playing on stream and other people want to have drinks, then I will. And yeah, and that's foreshadowing. So yeah, I'm going to be on zero calories until dinner. And lady who made a flesh against me orders a double Malibu and diet, and she gets it and transfers it to her Starbucks cup. And I respect the shit out of this on many levels. And something about these games, these daytime red chip games, you feel like you can't go for it. You feel like it's antisocial to play how you want to play. And that's part of being a poker pro is you don't, if you play every hand in a vacuum, you ain't getting action. Fuck no. You have to know when it's okay to play like a psycho, when it's okay to go for it, and when you need to just chill the fuck out a little bit. So you see weakness. You can't go for it every hand. They won't play, right? And so, and it feels antisocial. And poker is a social game. It's not a fucking competitive sport. Online could be, yeah, because you get so many hands out, you can actually prove something. No, it's so slow. It needs to be a social game where, yeah, people have edge, but that doesn't mean much, right? It means they're favored, but they could also lose the most and whatever. And I don't know. FaceTiming my kids. And last time I 3-bet when I was FaceTiming them, I 3-bet with ace-10 offsuit, got 4-bet, and I B-rated my children before folding. This time I bluffed while on with them, and it worked. So if you see someone FaceTiming and they're just putting money out in the pot, you're eventually going to fold because they have it. I didn't have it. And anyways, I told my kids they're allowed to go to college again. And I got called for the 3-5 no limit hold'em in red chip hell. And I don't know why the Venetian doesn't seem like hell to me as much anymore. Maybe because I know I'm not stuck there for the first season. I just didn't have any light at the end of the tunnel. Because I wasn't making any money podcasting and Poker Eggs hadn't really done anything, and I wasn't a commentator for the first few seasons. But it's, I have, there's definitely light at the end of the tunnel. I can see the fucking end of the tunnel. It's 2022. And so I just am not as disenchanted by these games. I know it's just part of the story. It's, well, you don't have any money yet, but you're going to, and you're in Vegas, and there's not much going on anyways. You could play some horrible 5-10 game at the Aria or Bellagio, maybe there, or win. Maybe the win one will be better, but you need more money for that. I don't got it. And maybe there's a 10-20 game at Bellagio, but that's going to be crusty a lot and probably break a lot. And so what? So I buy in for $800 in this 3-5 game, and I post my big blind, and I defend. Someone opens, and I defend, making it four ways with 9-4 clubs. And it comes 6-6-3, two diamonds, and a club. And the preflop opener checks. Under the gun opener checks. This lady forceful bets 35. So what does that mean? Well, it means she has an overpair, right? And because he opened, she called, someone else called. I defended my big blind with 9-4 clubs. It's 6-6-3, two diamonds and a club. She forceful 35. Okay, well, when it gets back to me, the guy who has all the sixes in his range and the pocket threes, I just look at her, and she doesn't want to bust, and she's deep. She has me covered, and I go to $80, just a little over a min raise with 9-4 on 6-6-3, and she is either going to fold now or fold on the turn. I prefer she folds on the turn, but then again, she could bink on the turn, and anyways, she folds now. So just, I'm going to steal. I haven't been a spaz, and so I'm just going to steal, and I mess up and I fold my small blind. Some hand I could call for $2 more. It's that normally the small blind's half the big blind. In this game, it's 60%. So you actually do need to throw $2 in with more hands. And I just wasn't, you know, I'm in the habit of small blind fold. I'm a patron now. I'm a raising the nuts patron. So that means I can start playing hands in the small blind because all my patrons, they live in the small. They love it, man. They fucking love it. Like, you'd be like, would you like to take your wife to a nice dinner and a movie? Or would you like to get dealt, you know, 10-6 of spades in the small blind? And they're like, I love my wife, but I prefer the second thing. And shout out to Moose. Anyways, I was feeling a little jumpy. If you can hear right now, I'm not jumpy. I'm energized. I slept a lot. And anyways, I was jumpy on this day. I was sober and rested, but also I've been grinding all day, working. I had a lot of screen time myself. I'm working on writing and Poker Eggs. If you want to see what I'm talking about, you can go to pokereggs.us, click on Team Poker Eggs, click on DGAF. I got my own section. Everyone we work with is going to have their own section, and it's going to be the hub. Anyone that's cool and in poker and wants to do content, we will work with you. And it's going to be a community too, right? And it's also going to be content. If you look at I'm writing stuff about why the designs and how they came about and what was going on this season of sessions, and it's a work in progress. But I'm feeling, after going to that fucking Chargers Raiders game, I'm feeling grandiose again. And after eating at this nice restaurant catch, I don't know. I got the energy again. And yeah, if you're a hard worker out there in the content game, hit me up. You gotta be a hard worker. You gotta be passionate about your shit. You gotta have some people that are passionate about it too. Anyways, I'm fired up on it. We've been working with people. We've been doing a one third split. They get one third of their profit. I'm moving that to 50-50. I just am. It feels right. My whole life, I just always want things to be give and take and the right amount. And I don't know. I overlimp Jack Deuce suited on the button in a four-way straddle pot. And that's debatable. You could just fold that. I didn't think it was time to raise. And Yeezy, you know what? I flopped. Nothing right. That's right. Okay. And I needed to do some more breathing. I just felt jumpy. And so what? What's funny is when I used to not feel right, my first instinct would be to feel guilt about not feeling right. That's called secondary anxiety. That shit's the worst. So I've gotten through that. I don't really feel bad about feeling bad anymore. I just try and feel better. And the way to get to that is to put a breathing app on your phone and set it for the time of day you're most stressed and just do 2 minutes every single day. And some days you won't need to. And it gets you in the habit of, oh shit, because you feel it. Like, you won't know that you're wound up and jumpy, and then you'll do it and you'll be like, wow, I was wound up and jumpy. Well, then you start to have better insight into it. And yeah, so I straddled under the gun after doing some breathing and folding, and I got queen five offsuit. And some guy had posted, and he puts in the extra $5, and both blinds, you know, put in the extra money to make, you know, to see the 10. And that's, it doesn't get much weaker than that. And so I'm going to squeeze my queen five offsuit. And how am I going to do it? Well, I just decide in this moment to take, I'm going to go to a smaller sizing, 6X, you know, and I'm going to gently do it. It's just based on your players. A gentle 6X here, they're going to think that's strong, right? Against sometimes you need to go 11X. Well, I didn't. I just gentle, and I'm going to take that money. And they all fold. And it seems easy because it is. You just have to, you know, when the money's out there and no one really wants it, take it. And the lady that I bluffed on the very first hand is gone. Second person is gone in 15 minutes of me at this table. And I wrote, everyone here is trying to earn. They just are. There's some rich lady, like, you know, got some expensive jewelry on, and she's probably in her 60s. And she's doing all the shit, like capping her cards on capping her card, like shit you see on TV from like the superstars of poker. And she's trying to earn. She doesn't need the money probably, but they're serious, right? And I don't know. And I'm just not, you know, making any hands so far, but I'm still up a little bit because I'm a dirty thief. And another note is, even though everyone's trying to earn, everyone wants three blinds these days. They do. Everyone likes the straddle. And the straddle struggle seems to be over. And that's nice. And I'm thinking maybe this will be the mark that I leave on poker, is the fucking straddle. Think how many games are three blinds compared to two blinds these days. And no one was more vocal back in the day about making it three blinds than I was. I'm the one that came up with the straddle shirt. That's what's the straddle with the question mark is what started Poker Rags, and the straddle with the period was the second design I made. And I've written about it so many times And people will say, well, Annie's better. Of course, like, but we're talking about in practice. You're not going to get people to ante. If you can get people to do a big blind Annie, sure, that's great. But they're not going to want to. But they like straddle. It's good for the game, even though theoretically it's worse for the game than the ante. But both are better than two fucking blinds. Yeah, so I don't know. I open the cutoff with ace-8 offsuit. The button calls. Oh, that's unfortunate. And the straddle calls. I didn't have to ask anyone to straddle. Someone just straddled. Came 10-8-7. And the straddle checked. And this is a middle-aged white guy. Kind of grumpy. And I checked my ace-8 on 10-8-7. And the button, new guy, bet. And the other gun guy called. And it was close. I thought about calling with ace-8 on 10-8-7 after a bet and a call. But I decided I needed to fold it. And the way this hand went down is the guy on the button, the new guy, he just barreled off until, well, he barreled the turn too. He bet a lot on the flop, a lot on the turn, and he checked the river. And the grumpy Mog just had jack-8. So he had second pair and a gut shot. And he won. And the other guy just had total air, zero equity. So, yeah, the turn was a king, and he fired. And then the river's a queen, and he just gave up. And I would have won that one if I called, but I'm going to do a rack count roll call because floor person, someone with a fucking clipboard is coming over to ask the dealer to count their rack for some important reason. So I'm going to do a roll call. Old school. Season one shit. Okay. So seat one is zero equity guy. He just blasted off and anything could beat jack-8. Damn it, my voice. And he just had nothing. He just like threw his cards away at the end. So he's zero equity guy. Then we have the rich lady playing her heart out. She is. She's, man, she's playing her heart out. It's different. And then we have sanitizer man. And that's just an older man with a big bottle of sanitizer. Good for him. And, you know, because coronavirus is an aerosol thing, some people are still sanitizing the shit out of stuff. I like that. You know, go with what you want, what makes you feel comfortable. And then you have the grumpy Mog that just won the nice pot with jack-8. You have the young rec pro, a recreational player for sure. He's just got a job, but he also is trying to win and he plays kind of like a pro. You see this a lot on stream. And then you have the tricky puppy. And what the fuck does that mean? Well, this guy takes weird lines and he has puppy dog eyes. And that's accentuated by everyone wearing a mask. You see people's eyes. So people, like, my girlfriend has the most beautiful, big, hazel eyes. And I love, I'll be sad when the masks are gone because it, you know, when she's in the poker room at a table away, it just accentuates her big, fucking beautiful eyes. Well, this guy has puppy dog eyes and accentuates it. And I don't know. And he takes really weird lines. He's the tricky puppy. And then we have the resident new pro. You got to have one new pro at your table. Just some guy who's got a monster stack. He's never doing anything outside the lines. It's all, you know, play my hand, flop a set, stack you against your top two. You got to have one of those at the table. And then the last person at the table in the ninth seat is your protagonist, Dragon Man. Okay. And now we have the young rec pro stacks sanitizer man. Fuck. So, and the worst part about this is it was just top pair against like two pair or something. Is the sanitizer man leaves and he takes his bottle of sanitizer with him. And immediately the table starts talking about what a gift it was and this and that. And the rich lady's saying, oh, what a gift. He should have folded it. And they're all doing it. Don't do this. People do this on stream too. Someone busts, fucking show them some respect. Right? Like, even if it was a gift, who gives a shit? I want people to give gifts. I don't want people who don't give gifts. And being good at poker doesn't make you cool. And not being good at poker doesn't make you not cool. I just need to put that out there. Fucking stop. Who gives a shit? If he gave the guy a gift, respect it. Respect that shit. You don't hate on fucking Santa Claus, do you? I don't know. But the dragon is getting thirstier, is what I wrote. The more they talk about our fallen soldier, that's sanitizer man. I just don't like that. Someone busts and leaves, don't say a fucking word about him. Talk about the weather. Just give them their respect And it's funny, but they do it on stream too. Like, you know, as soon as someone leaves, they're like, wow, that person sucked. Yeah, they're a fucking idiot. They suck at poker. Like, they should really get a poker coach. And you're like, yeah, well, whatever. Okay. I opened queen, jack of diamonds because weak ducks. So one thing, I've been trying to do a preflop chart for myself, and I realized that's impossible of when I'm going to limp and when I'm not going to limp. I'm going to limp when I have brick walls behind me, and I'm going to open when I have weak ducks behind me. And duck is what ducks was written as fucks. So I had weak fucks behind me, but I got spell check corrected to ducks. So weak ducks behind me, I'm going to open, right? And big blind, new pro, defends. Okay, so I opened under the gun. And it came 9-7-3 with two diamonds. And he checked, and I bet 1/3. And I'm going to barrel my balls off. I have two overs and a flush draw. And I just almost can't lose this pot. He calls and he's weak. Okay, so he has a piece of 9-7-3. Or he has a draw, probably worse than mine. I'm just going to win this pot almost always, except the turn card is a 3. That's, he's just going to continue with a 9 or a 7 here. Or if he has a 3, he has trips. Of course he is. And so I'm going to check and take my free card. Okay, just give me a queen, a jack, or a diamond, or give me a motherfucking ace or king, right? So just a lot of cards. And the river's a 7. So the board paired twice, and now he leads. He has a 7. It's clear. I fold. And Kanye, you understand what happened, right? I flopped the world, and I turned and rivered. Nothing right. Exactly, man. It's not cool, is it? How could those dealers be so heartless? You know what I'm saying? All right, so now the table I'm at, people are taking forever to make basic decisions. This is, if the people on TV didn't do this, the people in your card rooms wouldn't do this. So I kind of look forward to playing on stream. I will show people a different way. It's not, you don't take long. Sometimes you have to take long. If you have a really tough spot and or you've been overserved and so your computer's not working as fast as it normally does, you got to take a little while. Normally, you play really fast and you don't do all the posturing, you do subtle posturing, and you just make it a fucking fun time, because we all have limited time on this planet, and sure, it's fun to spend some of it at a poker table, but just fucking grinding hard, man, that doesn't seem like the best use, in my humble opinion. Anyways, they're taking forever, and they're talking dumb. They're talking strat, they're talking about our fallen soldier sanitizer man, so I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I'm going to listen to music. I have my AirPods because I take them if I FaceTime my kids. I'm going to listen to music. You're probably saying, you fucking hypocrite. You said, you know, headphones are bad for forever. They are in many games. If you're in a big game, you best not have any in general. You don't want to be listening to music. But if it's Corona Season 3, everyone has masks on, it's muffled, and you're at a table where everyone's trying their hardest, and they're not good, and they're talking, and it's tilting you, I'll listen to some music. And I put on, Kanye, I just put on a playlist for you on Spotify. Yeah. So, yeah. And then I just card debt. I keep getting squeezed out, and I wanted to add on more money. You can go to $1,200, but I'm just poor. Actually, that's not even fair to say anymore. I don't think you can say I'm poor given how much money I make. I think that's kind of, I shouldn't say that anymore. But I just don't have funds currently. And yeah. So the new Rec Pro puts in the 20-minute session. Yep. The guy that, you know, some kind of young professional, but studies poker, has some training site, obviously, and plays pretty good. Well, he won all that money from Sanitizer Man, and they've been talking about it, and he grabs racks. Okay, I wrote pathetic. It's not pathetic. It's not great. Hit and run, even though the guy's gone, I wrote pathetic. And then I wrote, okay, fuck it, I'm max buying. And I bought chips from this dude. And he's racking up. Okay, man, give me your blacks. Here's all my money. And I go to 1200 and put the rest in my pocket. And I button straddle. And so I was being responsible for a little bit. Buying in for 800 and a 3-5. No, I'm going to buy in for the max. What the fuck? Who cares if I lose all my money? I'll, I'll bounce back. If you've been listening for 5 years, I always do. So anyways, on the button start, I have king three. They limp, and I check my king three off. It comes king six deuce with two clubs. They check to me. I bet 25. I think someone will call with a pair of sixes or better, or maybe even like fives or fours. And someone, the under the gun guy, calls. Okay, and I thought he had something, which is why I didn't even think about squeezing my king three. And that's good. The turn's a queen. He checks, and I check back. I like this a lot. He's gonna pay me off late on the river. He's gonna bluff some. He's gonna do weird shit on the river. It's a good check back. The river's a 10, and he fires $50, and I snap it up with my top pair, and he had pocket jacks. He didn't know why he was betting. He knew he called on the flop because I would be betting with a bunch of shit. I had top pair, and then the queen came. If I bet, he folds, but no, I check back, and now he doesn't know why he's betting his jacks. Beautiful. He kind of got owned. And Yeezy, what's up with Donda? I don't know. So Donda was going on in my ears, and I just didn't get it. Tell me later. All right. And then we got a Vegas. So the young, you know, rec pro is gone, and the rich lady's going to go to his seat. Maybe it's lucky. I don't know. And then we got a Vegas night pro. You see a young dude with a Vegas night hat on. That's the Las Vegas poker pro uniform. And okay, so where were we? I straddle under the gun. Yeah, let's play some poker. I'm deep now. I can play more hands. I can straddle. I can. When you're deep, you have more options. And I 5-3 obviously, and I check. Comes ace deuce three. I bet 20 into 40. That means three people had limped in, and the lady who had sea changed, rich, older, trying her hardest, she calls the 20 into 40, okay, on ace, deuce, three, two diamonds. And I have 3-5. I have second pair and a gut shot. And the turn is a 5 of diamonds. I have two pair, and now there are three diamonds out there, and I bet 30, and I'm protecting, you know, I don't have a diamond, of course, and I'm protecting against ace. You know, she should have a lot of ace X that has a diamond in it, and I'm just getting value from that. Not really protecting from it, but getting value from it. And she called, and she was actually out of position here. And the river's a nice card. It's a three, and she leads. And so this is a good hand, and I have threes full of fives. It was a limp pot. I straddled on the gun. Couple people limped. She limped in there from one of the blinds. She seat changed to a bad seat to be on my right. She was on my left. That was better for her. Anyways, it's not all about me. And she check called the flop, ace, deuce, three, and the other two folded. So I'm in position, and the turn was a five, completing the flush, giving, you know, obviously a four makes a straight, and I have two pair. She checks. I bet 30. I got to charge her if she has, like, ace, eight with the eight of diamonds, anything like that. And she called, and the river was a three, giving me a boat, and she leads, and I decide I'm going to 4X it, and I'm going to fold. If she goes all in, I'm going to fold my boat. I am. I'm thinking about this because I'm sober and rested and all that, that, okay, just the computer's working quickly. Okay, you bet your ace, deuce, three because you have, you know, equity here with pair and gutter. It's debatable, but I always opt to bet in debatable situations. And okay, those two limpers fold, and she calls from the blinds, and the five of diamonds comes there. Sure, she has a lot of ace X in her range. Okay, I'm gonna bet here. Obviously, if she raises, I'm gonna fold. And the river's a three, giving me a boat, strong hand. She leads, she seems pretty strong, and I'm gonna 4X her raise because it's strong, and she's going to call with everything worse. And if she has me cooler, if she has pocket five somehow, hit the case five, or if she has ace three, she's going to jam. And anyways, she thinks about jamming and calls, and I win. Nice. I won a pot. And then I squeezed king seven of diamonds in the face of weakness from the small blind. So a bunch of people limp. I squeezed king seven of diamonds. Well, the big blind, Mr. Zero Equity, sets off the domino. He calls, and they were all going to fold. You just have to get through him. I didn't, and I flopped. Nothing right. Right. And no big deal, though, because I just made a boat, and you can't flop something every hand. The next note is Grumpy Mog is the real deal sticky. So the guy that had Jack 8 and called against Zero Equity Man, and I folded out the Ace 8. He's so sticky, I wrote, if I try to bluff him, that's on me. So I'm just kind of warning myself. If you try and bluff this guy, Because if you play hands, if you're a thinking player, shout out Alex Banana, and you play hands, you will know like really great bluff spots. But if you do it against this guy, it's on you because it's not going to work. So there are no really great bluff spots. You just have to make the best hand against certain people. Yeah, and so I'm up $300 and it feels like zero. It's true. It's just, you know, based on my career and my expenses and all that. So what? Just telling the story. And now the lady who was talking about Mr. Sanitizer, she was talking a lot about the gift, a horrible payoff. She's rattled from that hand against me, and she makes a much worse stack off than him. And that's how that goes. And she exits, and guess what the table does? They start talking about her. Don't do that. Anyways, now the players are limping, you know, with horrible hands, and now I have good hands, and so I'm squeezing slightly smaller. I don't mind getting some action, and I keep flopping. Yay. You got to be ready. I keep flopping nothing, right? Okay. It's time for my worst play. And the button straddle. And the tricky puppy opens in the hijack to 35. And immediately, no, this is either a call 25 more or raise. And I'm inclined to 3-bet, but I didn't. And when you're inclined to 3-bet, fucking 3-bet, right? It's just, you don't always need to be 3-betting King 10 offsuit. It's not a great hand, but it's a good spot for it. He opens late. He's got puppy dog eyes. He's a tricky player. And anyways, the read was he just wasn't that strong. And so, yeah, any hand that you're going to play becomes better as a 3-bet, you know, even though I'm the button already. And anyways, I flat. So that was the worst option would have been fold. The best option would have been 3-bet. I chose the middle option, flat. And the small blind's in there. That's zero equity, man. Okay. So we go three ways to the flop, and it comes king, four, deuce, two clubs, and a whatever else. And they check to me. I have top pair. I almost certainly have the best hand. I check it back. And I think this is pretty good. And it's going to give me action on later streets. The turn is a queen of hearts. So now there are two clubs and two hearts. King, four, deuce, and now queen. No one bet the flop. Two clubs and a heart. Turn, queen of hearts. And I'm going to rewind this hand. It's my worst play. On the button straddle, king 10 off. Someone in a late position that has puppy dog eyes. And he plays hands tricky. I don't think he's strong. I should 3-bet. I don't. I flat. I let in the small blind. Zero equity, man. The guy that blasted off with zero equity. And it's just the three of us. Comes king, four, deuce, two clubs, and a heart. They check. I check back with my top pair. I don't want to see an ace, but like, this is a good way to get value, right? Especially if you have a guy in the small blind who's inclined to bluff. And that's, he is. We've already seen that. The turn's a queen of hearts, and now zero, man, zero equity leads about pot. And tricky puppy folds. And he, you know, he's not sad. His eyes just make him look kind of sad. And now I have to make it, you know, I call. I'm not, you know, he leads pot and I call. And then the river is a queen of clubs. Interesting card. King, four, deuce, two clubs and a heart. Turn, queen of hearts. He leads pot. I call. River is queen of clubs. And he leads less. He leads not less than he bet on the turn, but less as a percentage. And you know, he is zero equity, man. You can talk yourself into paying it off. And this is, if you had like a backer or whatever, you could be like, well, the guy did bluff with zero equity before. So, I check back the flop with top pair. I'm under repped and it comes queen, queen, and I need to call him. I need to pay him off. Sure. That's reasonable. But when he let the chips go, I knew to fold and I didn't do it. I knew to fucking fold. And that's the difference of being, you know, built for live poker, just hyper fucking perceptive and sense. I just knew by the way he fucking released the chips that he had me and I should fold. And that's what used to make me the best. And I need to get back to that. I called and he made a flush. Good for him. And also these bad plays are bad because now I'm going to tilt. I'm going to be mad at myself. Oh, I just gave that guy, you know, $160 in the river he didn't deserve. Yeah, I don't know. And a deep lady that, if in the first hand at 3-5, I bluffed her, and she obviously had over a pair, and I just, almost check min raised and on a paired board, and she folded. And she left and came back and bought in short. Okay, I don't know. And another guy went to 2-4. So everyone's in there earning, trying to earn, And now Zero Equity, man, has some chirping chips. He seems like a nice guy. And something people do at 2-5 is talk about the times they play 5-10. It's fucking great. And I'm even now. And I don't know. I got to take a piss and ponder my life decisions. And I don't regret any of them, to be honest. Fuck it. I come back and I have almost my best play. And I'll run through it because my esteemed sound guy named Sound Guy gave me too many notes for this one. But it's my almost best play. It's 2-5-10 and they limp. And I'm the small blind. I go to 60 with kings, and some new guy calls, and the tricky puppy call, and the resident new pro call. And obviously, they're all in position against me, and we got 240 out there. It comes queen, jack, four, rainbow. I bet 150 into 240. It's really good sizing, and only tricky puppy calls. Turns a jack, pairs the second card. I deduce that he won't be calling with a jack there. With people behind, or he might have taken longer on the flop, so he doesn't have a jack. So he has a queen or a draw, and hopefully he has a queen. I bet 180. Really good sizing. He calls, and the river completes the straight, but based on the turn, I thought he just had a queen, and I bet 280, and he tank calls, and my hand's good. And I just got max value, and I played it surgically, and he leaves. And yeah, and now the resident new pro turns the nuts against me, and I snap fold. I lost, you know, $100-some, who cares? And I wrote dealer keeps looking at dragon, man. And I don't know. I don't remember that, if it was a man or a woman dealer. But I was getting hangry because I don't intermittent fast regularly anymore, and I was on this day. And I'm going to start getting back to it a little bit because it's my only chance of, you know, controlling my way. I'm never going to not. Never is not the right word, but it's not like I'm going to not drink. You got to be fucking kidding me. I'm going to drink. And with that comes calories and bad food and whatever. I'm always going to do that, I think. But anyways, yeah, I was getting hangry. And button straddle, ace nine. And the a different Mog opens with a big ace. I know it's a big ace. And I fold my ace nine offsuit. And I was so proud of myself. He had ace queen. I was locked. Kanye, I had to turn your music off. Why? Because I played a four-way bloater in position with ace deuce of clubs. Like I open or people limped, I raised. And then like, you know, someone in the blinds three bet and they called. I called ace deuce of clubs. And I flopped. I'll just do it for you. I flopped nothing. And the song of yours that was in my AirPods was The Blame Game. With, I believe, Chris Rock. Is that right? Yeah? Okay. So, The Blame Game was on in my ears. I flopped nothing with ace, deuce, clubs, and a four-way bloater. And I started blaming the dealer. And that's not good. So, I had to put some Post Malone on. Okay. And now the lady who was deep, and I bluffed her on the first hand, and she went to a different game, came back short before you're allowed to, for sure, but I'm not going to say anything. Now she seat hops me because Zero Equity Man won that pot against me, and now he's gone after telling people he plays 5-10. So it goes, and yeah. And the grumpy Mog hit and run, and a new player's in, and it's a... Oh, no, I'm sorry. This guy's been here, but it seems like he's new. The Vegas Knight Pro. You see a young guy wearing Vegas Knight shit. That's the uniform. It's like, okay, I'm moving to Vegas. I'm going to become a pro. All right, before you start your new career, you better go buy some Vegas Knight shit. So everyone at the table knows you're local and a pro. And anyways, this guy seemed like a cool guy. His VPIP was zero. And I was noting that I'm a pro. He's a pro. His VPIP is zero. This means he's got dealt dog shit. And he's not tilting at all. But then I'm thinking, what's the axis on a graph, the one that goes from left to right? Is that the Y or the X? I don't know. I think it's probably the Y axis. You know, so on a graph, you have the up and down is your results, and then the left or right is how long you've been playing. And I'm thinking his Y axis, if that's the one that goes left to right, is probably a few inches, right? And mine is fucking miles, and that's the difference. If I'm card dead, I'm going to be fucking tilting a little bit. He wasn't at all, okay? And there's also an hours grind that a lot of these people are doing. I don't know what it is. Some promotion by the Venetian. They're the best at hustling people into playing there. They're good at it. Anyways, it's time for my actual best play. I open pocket 10s because it makes sense to open. The lady seat changer, she was deep, seemed pleasant. She was deep. I bluffed her the very first hand where I had 9-4 on 6-6-3. And I just check raised small and scary enough to make her fold. She left, came back. She had like heaps and then she came back with like fucking 3-400. And I don't know. I don't think you're allowed to do that, but I'm not going to say anything. Well, now she seat hops me and whatever. And I open and she calls. And this other guy wearing some Puma shit call. Okay. And they're both in position on me. So I open like middle position. They both call. And it comes deuce, deuce, five with two spades. And I lead 25. It was just a regular 2-5 hand. I had opened to 15, 45 in there. And I lead 25. And deuce, deuce, five, two spades. And she calls, right? And he folds. Okay. So it's just heads up. Her and I have an overpair. Turns an offsuit eight. That's a good card. I lead 60, and she goes to $200 with 130 behind. And I know my image, and I know the dynamic. She left because I bluffed her in the first hand. She probably suspected it, and I'm squeezing a lot and whatever. And I have an overpair here, and this is a classic. You know, the lag finally has overpair, and I fucking folded, and I felt so good about it. She just has pocket eights or a bigger pair than tens. Always. She called on deuce, deuce, five. She called my open, right? And then someone else did. And then I bet on deuce, deuce, five, two spades. And she called. The other guy folded. And it turns an offsuit eight. I led 60, and she raised to 200 with 130 behind. And it's so easy to say, like, I've been the lag all day, gamble all in, let's stack you with your fucking pocket sevens or whatever. No, she has pocket eights or she has a hand like fucking kings, queens, whatever. And that was my best play. Folding, it doesn't come, folding over pair is like, isn't my favorite thing. And I did it. And I whiffed for a while. And then this new guy is very funny. He left, went to 2-4 and came back, but he's not grinding as hard as everyone else. And he comes back and opens 10-9 of hearts and gets called by the new pro on my right who has ace 10. And it comes ace 8-6 with the 8-6 of hearts, turn 9. And the guy rivers a straight flush with 10-9 of hearts. And the new pro has a straight. And he wins the high hand promotion, but he didn't win jack shit in the pot. I just thought it was funny. Like, I couldn't imagine cooling someone that hard and just winning jack shit. And I don't know. I didn't explain that hand well, and that's okay because I wasn't in it and who gives a shit. And it's just this guy left and came back and ran hot, and then he ran hot again. And then he won the $400 for the highest hand every half hour, something like that. And then he opens again, a third hand. It's my button straddle. And the new pro calls, and the new pro might be steamed up a little bit, ready to get this guy. And I just go to $150 with queen five offsuit because I was a button straddle, and I had to. I like this guy. He's a character. He came back. He's running hot. You don't get to win three. No. Not in. Have a little fucking respect. If I button straddle, you better, if you open, you better have the guts because you just won two pots in a row. You can win a high hand promotion. Don't get greedy. And I went to 150, and they both folded. And then the Vegas night guy V-pipped, and confetti fell from the sky, and he lost to that same funny guy who called his hand wrong, so accidentally slow rolled him, and the Vegas pro didn't care. And I whiffed. The lady was the aggressor, and we were in there, and I whiffed, and I wrote, please get her, guys. I was mad at her. I was mad at her for leaving and coming back short and seed hopping me. And I was mad I had to fold my overpair to her. Okay. And guess what happens in this hand when I said, please get her, guys? The resident new pro on my right made the super nuts. Like, just turned the fucking, he had the flush draw, but instead turned the gut shot and stacked her. That's not nice that I was rooting for that. But I got to be honest, under my mask, there was a little smile. And now I rob the funny guy that came back. I have king, queen, offsuit, pre, and I either cold 4-bet or just 3-bet huge. And he folded 10s, and he said, you have one of three hands. I said, okay. I don't know. If king, queen, offsuit's one of them, then you got it. I didn't say that. What's funny is now the lady rebuys, and she's gambling. She's playing like a normal person. This is what happens. We're all human. we can go in this mode of I'm going to grind. And oh, I just got stacked by the resident new pro who had a flush draw and turned a gut shot instead, so I didn't see it. Yeah, exactly. And I didn't get paid by the lag when I coolered him when he had an overpair. Yeah, okay, now she's gambling. And this is just very human. At 7-5 of spades, on ace, queen, 10, king, king, no spades, three diamonds, four-way pot, and I took it. I just read it. And I just knew they couldn't call if I bet a shit ton on the river, so I bet a shit ton on the river. And another kind of important hand is on my button straddle, and the guy with the Puma stuff limps, and I 4x with ace 10 offsuit, and it comes 4-4 deuce. He checks, I bet 30, and he check raises. And if you listen to my main event series from 2021, every time you're the preflop raiser and it comes paired board and you c-bet, these fucking tourney pros, this is the trick they know. They check raise. And you just call every single time. Because if they actually have it, they wouldn't check raise. It's beautiful. And it's like, you look on the Hendon Mob shit before your day two or whatever, and you'll be like, oh, this guy has, you know, a lot of earnings. He plays big, you know, this and that. It's fucking tourney pro. Who gives a shit? And you know that if you open or ISO or whatever, and he calls from the big blind, or if he just defends from the big blind, it comes paired board, all you got to do is bet small, and he's going to check raise. Happened to me like a handful of times, and I called every single time with ace high, and my hand was the best every single time, and I got turned often, but who gives a shit? And this isn't the main event. This guy just has a four, so I folded. Okay. And then I have a dominating hand again in position, and the guy makes a monster. So variance isn't really on my side too much in this session. But then I steal four ways again. And I know that that's something I can do when I'm sober and something I can't when I'm not. It takes a very detailed read, of course, but also you need that image of if they see you like drinking Diet Coke, like, is this fucking guy really stealing four ways? Yes, I am. And I have a king five offsuit, three bet to 115, take it. Who gives a shit? I have three deuce on ace queen five, three ways, give me that. And it's just being rested. I mean, I worked before this session, but being sober and just locked in, right? And just, okay, you can't call here. You can't call this exact amount. And just kind of playing my A game on this day. And then someone limped, and I ISO'd with king 10 and the lady 3-bet on my left, and I folded so fast. And then I limped ace-king because it made sense to limp instead of open, and the funny guy raised, and I limp re-raised him pretty big, maybe a little too big. You don't need to go that big with ace-king. And he called and it came queen 9-6. I just checked. He checked. In terms of deuce, I checked. He potted it. He had me. I didn't run that great, but I played really well, and I ran okay. And I played for 4 hours, and I won a mid-stakes tourney entry, which I'm going to give to my girlfriend for her birthday.
Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags. We dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF Community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF Poker Player and sign up to become a patron today.